Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and this is my gig. I am the spiritual leader of this community, and so good to stand here on a, I know, me too, woohoo! So good to stand here on a Sunday morning and just be amidst such beauty and to be living our lives on purpose, to have this gorgeous sanctuary. The air conditioning got repaired. I'm a little too cold now. Things are really looking good for us. So we have a board meeting immediately. Well, not immediately, but after we have a little snack. It's dining with the dudes. We're going to eat. Then we will have our board meeting, but at that same time, you will be invited to visit the different opportunities for service that we create in our community here. So every once a year or so, we try and do something to draw your attention to all the different things that could be done, and that's going to happen today. So we're going to have fun right now. The title of my message is The Universe, God's Art. And I'm not really sure how I came up with that title. I can't recall what I was reading, but I began to think at how often I will notice a glorious sunset and think, wow, look at the artwork that God does. You know, sometimes I get this sense that if we, in our attempt to paint something, threw colors together as carelessly as nature does, we would be criticized. But there's this magnificent way that the universe gives us this representation of that which is bigger than us, that infinite intelligence of the entire universe that shows up as art. And we experience it as beauty. And so what I'm really talking about today is beauty, and I have prayed long and hard on what exactly is the message, the spiritual message of beauty. And I will say that I have a lot of ideas around it, but what came to me is that, as I worked on all of this material, is that I think that beauty opens us. When we have a moment of noticing something appears beautiful, or maybe we just admire the perfect order of something or the harmony of something, we are having a moment of connecting with the divine in the most intimate way possible. And so our perception of beauty and our ability to perceive it, because the more I thought about it, I was thinking that, you know, we go through difficult times. There are people right here experiencing pain. I see some new canes and neck braces in the audience this morning. And so I know that in our physical form, sometimes we move through experiences and conditions. But I want to remind you that even then, beauty is still there. And if we take a breath and make a choice to notice or to look for something beautiful, we will see it. Because our intent is always given to us. So we're going to talk today about this way that beauty can, as one of the many qualities of God, beauty can open us to have a more intimate experience of the divine. But I also want to be clear that we're talking about the fact that this is how spiritual law works. So when I see something and it touches me and I feel it resonating inside of me, there is that process of my consciousness. I like to say my soul is like expanding, breathing it in. And in that way, we grow and we change and we are transformed. And I don't think we should take that lightly. So before I begin, before I really get into what I want to say today, I want you to take a breath and look. We're gonna work on polishing our sense of perception or our skill, the skill of observation. And I've done this before on a Sunday morning. I like to do this from time to time. I want you to look around the room. I don't care how many times you've sat in this sanctuary. If you're brand new, it'll be easy. If you've been here a lot, it might be more of a challenge. Look around this room, and I want you to see something that you have never noticed before. Any old thing. So what do you see? What do you see that you haven't seen before? Who will share? Who's got some? Say it again.
Air vents.
Air vents. You don't usually sit that far back. Judy?
A plug.
Okay. Mary? You never saw that. Do you see how important it is that we do this sometimes? There's a clever little light right there that serves me during the week greatly. When you walk out of my door and you go through this dark sanctuary, that little light saves my fanny a lot. Andrea? The plant in the middle on the right. All right, so you get the point. That there is always more to be seen. There's always more in a different perspective. I love that Mark said the air vents, because Mark never sits that far back, or rarely sits that far back. And so sometimes I'm taking the walk, the same walk I take day after day, and once in a blue moon I realize I'm kind of bored with that. I'm going to walk in the opposite direction around the block, and what happens? You see all kinds of things that have always been there that you never noticed before. Right? And so that's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to practice that power of observation and that intent to see something new, to notice something we hadn't before. It's good for our perception. So here is the quote that I found from Ernest Holmes. The book that Judy read from, of course, is one of my favorites. The second book he ever wrote in 1919. It is indeed 101 years old. This is a quote I got from another source of Holmes. But listen to these gorgeous words where he speaks of beauty. Did you realize he speaks of beauty a lot? When I did the research here, I was pretty pleased. It's like, this is a very relevant topic. The God of beauty is understood by the artist who appreciates the beautiful, the artist who senses in all form some reflection of universal wholeness. Wow, a glimpse of beauty. Even if you're just looking at something specific, you're impacted by what happens to you in a physical, visceral way, but you have a larger glimpse of the whole because you've had an experience. He goes on to say, beauty is a spiritual quality eternally imaged in our minds. Internally imaged in our minds. So this is a really relevant conversation, because there's something eternally imaged in our mind, in our consciousness, but it's that potential. It's that way in which we can always change our perception and focus on something bigger, with the intent of, when we do it spiritually, the intent is to get the bigger picture, to see the universal. And in that way, the spiritual principle we're talking about today is actually wholeness. The universe as God's art. Beauty as a spiritual quality that's already in our mind in a divine way, waiting for us to spark it into an aliveness, to use it. It reminds me that it's like how we are, we speak often about how we are born with certain gifts and talents, and that nobody sitting here in this room, nobody in the world, has the exact same gifts and talents that we have. And so if we don't express our gifts and our talents, they're wasted. They're not used. And the same is true of this opportunity to see beauty. If we don't use that tool that we are, it's a God-given opportunity for us to image in our mind that divine view, then we're missing out on something. It's wasted. It's not used. And so I was thinking how it reminded me of, have you ever taken a piece of art to get it professionally framed? You know, sometimes, one time I won something at the county fair. We were living in Arkansas, Bentonville, Arkansas. a long time ago. And I won this, it was like a raffle, and I won this gorgeous piece of art, but it wasn't framed. And so I took it to a little store, and it was so fun. I've actually repeated the process a few times because it's just so amazing to set your piece of art on the counter there. It can be a photograph, it doesn't matter, but your little something precious that you want framed beautifully. And then they bring out those little corners. They have all those little corners made of all different kinds of wood and all different carvings and cuts. And they start holding the wood against the painting till they see they use, you're taking what you desire. You want them to enhance the art that you brought in. And then you're paying for the professional perception so that you can get a very nice framing of what you desire to hang and display. And then they bring out the mats. And then you have this whole color thing. And the artist in the professional framer comes out and they begin to play with colors and make recommendations. And they will put together something that I could never see on my own. But when we do that, we just set the intention that we want something beautifully done, and we open ourselves to all the ways in which that might happen, then things unfold, and there you get some beautifully framed art that now looks completely different. So the message we're addressing this morning is that idea that that there's all of this gorgeous artwork in the universe. I'm going to talk about everything that is created by the divine creator. And our expression, the way we express it and bring it into being, is by witnessing it, by observing it, by opening ourselves to an experience of it. And that includes the way we relate to each other. Sometimes people are really beautiful, and then sometimes they're not so pretty. So our perception is changing, and we know that that's based upon all kinds of things, and it doesn't even really matter. What matters is that we know the potential is there for us to all have that experience of beauty. If you are not experiencing beauty in your life, you're not seeing the whole picture. Isn't that a simple way of thinking about it? If you haven't noticed something's beautiful in a while, and now that we're actually talking about it and sort of focusing on it, you're just not looking at the whole picture. And I think that's what the spiritual path should do. That's one of the pieces of our spiritual practice, is that it brings us to see that there's always more going on. There's always another way to refocus what's going on. When I just notice in myself that when I get overly concerned in the minutiae, the little details of life, things rarely look beautiful to me. Right? You get busy on a task. I often wonder how an artist knows when the painting's done, because there is a point where you have to quit throwing paint on it, you know, where you missed beauty a while back, you know, and you can't take it off. But I was thinking about the way perfectionism just blocks us from seeing beauty. So there's nothing wrong with striving for excellence, for wanting to have all this goodness and an experience of it in your life and to want to do it better. There's nothing wrong with any of that. I think those are some admirable traits until they tip over into that space of perfectionism. A week ago or so, I had a leadership meeting at my home. And so, you know, there's a certain way you live and then there's a different way you entertain. So I managed to keep the house, get the house the way presentable, where I wanted it. And I managed to get the snacks all ready, and I managed to get myself all ready. And doggone it, if I didn't have like an hour before anybody was going to come. And that never happens. I think I know why now. But that never happens. So I'm sitting around, and I'm kind of pacing, and I'm looking at for anything to be out of place. And so I see a little piece of fuzz there, and I pick that up, and then I walk over here, and I move this picture around, and I'm just walking around, and I made some joke to my husband, and I recognized, this is important, people, I recognized, because I practice the witness consciousness in my own life, observing my own shenanigans, so I caught myself in the middle of a shenanigan, and it was that perfectionist thing. Like, anybody in the whole world is going to notice some of the tiny little minutia things I was rearranging, and it wasn't making me feel better. It wasn't relaxing me. I was just still on having that anticipation. Oh, company's coming. And so because I caught myself, I made a different choice. And I went and I set myself down in my sitting chair where all I do is meditate or read. That's all I do in that chair. And I sat down, and instead of looking at everything out here, I turned inside. And I realized that what I really wanted was not a clean house, not to worry about what people care about my house. But what I wanted was to be a loving presence. And so I took that time, and instead I meditated on the sort of the characteristics of how I could express myself when people arrived. I just put myself in that space of loving people, of wanting to be that loving presence, claiming, knowing that's who I am, and it shifted everything. It relaxed me, and it created a more welcoming environment, and it got me out of the little stuff. Now, what I think I learned is that I probably am ready, usually, ahead of time, but I don't stop. I just keep fixing, straightening, changing, doing things that don't have to be done. I heard a story once of a woman who loved to entertain, and she would stay in her pajamas or her work clothes or sweats, you know, cook all day, get everything all ready, and she did kind of like a Martha Stewart kind of presentation, so it was a lot of work, and she would wait until the first guest arrived, and then she would show that guest around where the beverages were and everything, and said, "Now you're in charge. I'm going upstairs to bathe and get ready to entertain." And she would go upstairs, take her time, take a bath, and mentally prepare for the joy. She had done all the work already, right? Isn't that a great idea? And then your guests get to know each other. I think that's such a great idea. I don't know if I could ever do it, but I love the principle of it. When I'm obsessive like that, I call that I get engaged in my fussy fault finding. So think about it that way. You're only looking for what's out of place, and that's the opposite of where we want to be and the kind of energy we want to exude. So beauty is like that. Beauty is perceived from only the perception you're in. If I'm nitpicking, I'm not going to see the beauty that's right in front of me. And then when I am in a position, aware or choose to recognize beauty, or something just wallops me unexpectedly, nature is like that, people can be like that, where you just something takes your breath away, music can be like that, then I'm there for the experience of it. And it is true that we will all find different things beautiful in different ways. That's why every time somebody asks me, what color is the building going to be when we paint it? I always go, I don't know, I don't care, I'm staying out of that. Because there's going to be 100 different ideas, 120, we have 120 members. There's going to be 120 different ideas of what we could do to make the building presentable from everybody's perception. They're all going to be different. So when they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, this is an important thing for us to look at. But I want us to go beyond that. You know, it is clear Sue Witter's mom was a professional opera singer. She has a real different ear for music than I do. I love her. And she loves me, but we do not necessarily like each other's music. And that's okay, you know. That's okay. Sometimes it really irks me that she just can't get into that Michael Beckwith rap with me because I like that. But I respect that, right? So the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But here's what I really want you to hear in that statement. Yes, we are all unique. What I want you to hear is what's more important than what or how you are beholding is that you behold. Do you or do you not open yourself to the many opportunities to experience beauty? So I think beauty's a choice. You know, I love that poetry will, whoo, sometimes poetry will take me right to the center, you know, and it depends on what kind of mood I'm in as to what kind of poetry I like. Sometimes a piece of music, I mean, there's another good example. I took a classical piece of music, some strings, over to Sue's house. Her husband was an orchestra conductor. Did I say that correctly? I know, but he conducted it. He did also conduct, and they always do that. Every time I try and talk him up, they're so humble. They go, oh, you know, this was his instrument. But I want you to know he conducted music, so I took my music to his house, and I said, I love this music so much. It was strings, and it was really, oh, that moody kind of wonderful light that I love. And I said, would you just do me a favor? Would you just humor me, and would you just, like, do what the conductor does? Would you listen to my music and then show me what you would be doing while the music was on? And it's like, and so he took a little coaxing, but he did. And when he got all done, he said, that's dreadful music. That's dreadful. Because his taste for classical music, first of all, he plays horn. Is it actually a horn? So he plays horn, so it's not strings. You know, probably has an appreciation for strings, but it's not, you know, we all have our different thing. But the important thing is to notice it and to love it. Tell the truth. So we all have different tastes, and we all have different things, different types of art that call us. But don't forget that nature and each other, that it is a, you know, when you're looking at wholeness, that we are created out of that God stuff. So we are that God stuff. And each of us then will take those divine qualities and demonstrate them in our life in the way of our choosing. And the point is, choose. Because even though you think you don't choose, you are choosing. Whatever your life is showing you right now, it's what you've chosen. If you don't like it, choose something better. Choose different. You can choose again. So I read recently that beauty heals. Isn't that an incredible thought? Beauty heals. It makes sense to me because I can feel it in my being, you know, when it's something's really good. I can feel it, the sort of activity of life, I like to call it. I found this book, Piero Ferrucci, an Italian philosopher and psychotherapist, and he wrote this. Beauty cures us because it has a therapeutic effect. Beauty heals just as the bird song soothes and cheers. So there's a therapeutic effect to beauty. So I went one step beyond that and did some research, and I found that they have done some amazing studies that validate. They've been looking at this already, that there's work that's done that shows beauty is good for us. An experience of beauty is good for us. So the one I'm going to share with you right now is happened in, it was a British study, so it happened in England. And there was a hospital that was about to close, and all the people that were interested in doing this work for the study said, this is the perfect time for us to put some data together and see what happens here. So whoever was funding the construction of the new hospital was willing to, there must have been a lot of money in it, because they let them sort of have their dream. Everybody threw in their 2 cents of what would make a beautiful environment. They were looking to emphasize beauty for their patients so they could change the hospital environment to give people a more positive experience while they're being cared for. And so they took everything into consideration, the furniture, the shapes and the styles of the furniture and the colors that they used, the sounds that they would provide, the sounds that they would like to block the patients from hearing. They took all of that together to create this exquisite environmental experience. And when it was all said and done, not only did they find that the patients were by far more satisfied with their overall experience of needing medical care, but in addition to that, they saw there was a drastic reduction of painkilling medicine and a 21% shorter recovery time after surgery. Beauty. Their emphasis was beauty. It didn't change the quality of the care the people were already getting. In fact, it was very much the same people. And by the way, of course, the staff would find it pleasing as well. The staff liked it as well. So beauty and harmony and that sense of order, these are all qualities of wholeness. It's all a part of what it means when we talk about the whole being or being perfect, whole, and complete. Because wholeness is our natural state. Listen to these words of Ernest Holmes. Wholeness finds harmony in the perfect adjustment of itself to all of its parts. Wholeness finds harmony in the perfect adjustment of itself to all of the parts. So here's what I want you to do with that quote. I want you to think about it this way. When I adjust my views, when I bring my thoughts to God qualities, I am now in a more natural state that I was designed to be in. So this lesson is here for us to look at this perspective of being in harmony with the greater whole and to remember yet again that we are not separate from it. We are always finding our way back. You know, we live in this, in bodies and physical form, and we have to participate in life. I mean, it takes our attention just to create a meal. And then to clean up after it, you know, all of the things that just are a part of life. So I want you to do that this week. I want you to be paying attention to what gets in your way of appreciating beauty. Sometimes it's last week's talk. We're pretty comfortable in the status quo of things. We're comfortable the way things are. Right now, we don't want anything to rock the boat. But I want to tell you a story so that we can begin to imagine that mental image. We can begin to imagine there may be things we're hanging on to that would be life-changing if we could release them and let go of them and look at life in a slightly different way. My story comes from Africa. It's a myth. It's a beautiful myth. I've never read it before. I'm so happy I stumbled on it for this message. It's about an African family, a healthy family, two parents and a bunch of children. And they all get along, and they live in this hut in Africa on the savanna, and they are satisfied. They're good people. They're respected. There's only one problem. The children are not made of flesh and bone. The children are all made of wax. And because they're wax, they can't be out in the sunshine or they'll melt. So they live in a hut in a beautiful place, but there are no windows in the hut, and they can only go outside at night because the daytime is dangerous for them. It's risky. Now, one of the sons, Ningwabi was that one. He was curious. He loved hearing the stories about what Africa was like in the daytime. He wanted to see it. He wanted to experience it. He imagined how wonderful it would be to see the river that was nearby rushing by. He wanted to see what the trees looked like when the wind blew and the leaves moved and the light flickered in there. He wanted to see a real zebra, and he wanted to see a giraffe, and he wanted just to have that experience of walking in the vast savanna and really know Africa. And he dreamed about it, and he yearned for it. And finally, it came to a point where he couldn't bear living without it. He craved that experience of beauty that was not going to be satisfied in any other way. So he decided to go. He made a decision that it was worth the risk, that he was going to leave the safety of the hut and he was going to explore Africa. His parents begged him. His parents said, please don't go. Please don't do this. His siblings all said the same thing. We want you to stay alive and we want you to be safe. Please don't leave the hut. Please don't do that. And Ningwabi said, I have to. I have to. So the next morning, just before dawn, he left the safety of the cabin. And he was outside right when the sun, just even before the sun appeared, but the color of the sky changed. And he was delighted by how beautiful the delicate pink mixed with the mauve of the clouds and the movement of the water. He could see and he could hear it. He was touched by the beauty, and a cheetah ran by. He saw a real animal. And he was so drawn to this experience and feeling the beauty and the joy. But then the sun rose, and the heat of the sun became so intense that he melted. And he was nothing but a pile of wax on the dirty ground. Well, his family was very upset when he didn't come home that day. They knew what had happened. So they waited till night. And after it got dark, the family goes out and they look for what's left of their brother. And they find this pile of colored wax. And it's all dirty now from being on the ground. And they're very sad because they know it's their brother. And so the mother and the father take the wax and they almost ceremoniously begin to mold it and shape it. And they made the wax into a bird. And then they went and they found palm leaves to make wings. And they put the palm leaves on the bird so that it would cover the wax, so when the sun came out the next day, it couldn't melt it anymore. And then they very gently picked up this wax bird. And they took it to the top of a very small hill that was really close to their front door, not much more than a berm. And they put it there. And then they went back to their house and they waited for the sun to come up the next day. Now, when the sun began to rise, they opened the door of their hut ever so slightly. So they're in the shade, they're protected from the sun, but they can see through this crack in the open door. And they can see the bird on the hill. And they wanted to see what would happen when the sun got to the bird. And so the sun is now on the hill, on the bird, and the bird's eyes, Ningwabi's eyes, open as a bird. And the wings begin to move, and he takes flight, and he circles over the hut, and he flies off. The story is a gorgeous illustration of that yearning for beauty. That if we acknowledge it within us, nothing can hold us back. These spiritual qualities of God that we talk about every Sunday in this very sanctuary, these are things that we yearn for. We yearn to understand them. The peace, the power, the joy, the harmony, the beauty, the perfect order of the universe, these are qualities of God, and therefore they are our own qualities. And so it is natural for us to yearn to have an experience of beauty. And the point of the story is that sometimes beauty does something to us. It shakes us. It stirs us. It opens us. Remember how I said at the beginning, it stretches our consciousness to see things from a different perspective. And sometimes that experience of beauty has the power to melt away our old ideas so that we now not only yearn that which is right before us and that we can have this God-given gift, it is right here. We not only can have that, but we can stretch our capacity to receive it. And that's why we're having this talk this morning. Because as we practice to this ability to experience, to appreciate beauty, it grows us. It allows us to understand what it means to receive the good gifts of the Father. We understand, we teach how to work the law. This is yet another illustration of how the God qualities are given to us, and we yearn to use them, so let's use them. Sometimes we have to imagine. It's that way our mind is set to image. All we have to do is pull up that desire and sink it in there so that it can come into form. You know, I I never imagined I'd be living in the desert. I never imagined I'd be living in the desert. I did not like the desert. My husband loved the desert. He loved the desert. We'd be sitting in Southern California having a great day. Sunday, we'd go to church. We'd come home, and he'd go, let's take a drive up to the desert. You know, and we'd take the 15 up there, and we'd get up to Hesperia or Victorville, and he wanted to get out of the car and walk around. And I always said, everything's so dead. It's so ugly. It's brown. There's no life up here, and there's scorpions and snakes. I hated the desert. But you know what? I just kept growing in my spiritual path, setting aside my old ideas and beliefs. I kept my nose to spiritual practice and expanding my consciousness and imagining what great possibilities were right in front of me. And then an opportunity came, and it had to do with this church. And I happen to have kids living around here, and suddenly we came out to visit the kids, and I'm thinking, maybe I'll candidate for that job. And you know what? Nothing looked the same to me. Nothing looked the same. I mean, it's almost embarrassing to tell you. We were driving down the street, and I went, oh, my God, they have Targets here. They have Boston chicken. You know, what else do you need? It was like I had never really seen what was here. And now I live here. And thanks to my amazing friend, Kathy Rose, who took me very early in the journey and said, I'm taking you out in the desert, girl, and I'm going to teach you a thing or two. And we spent a long morning in the white tanks. I fell in love with the white tanks. I have been back many times since then. You've heard me talk about them. She made me learn the names of things. She helped me to see the beauty that is out there. And then if you stay here long enough, you get to see the seasons. You get to experience in a different way, in a way that you can feel it. The desert is now beautiful to me. It's true that beauty heals, and the bird song soothes and cheers. Recently, I was talking to Jane on the phone, and I said, stop, wait, hold on. I hear birds. You have beautiful birds. Sing, where are you? Where are you that those birds are singing so loud and gorgeous? I can hear those birds. And she said, I'm in my backyard. These birds serenade me all the time. And I immediately felt kind of envious, you know. I'd like to clean it up and not act like the minister is envious. I was envious. I wanted those birds so bad, and I thought, I've heard pretty birds. Why don't I hear birds anymore? And Jane, you don't know this, but I got off the phone, and I went and I sat in my backyard. Birds were singing. The birds are always singing. Our ability to hear them is a gift, but it is a gift we must choose. And so before I conclude this message, I would ask you to look around the room one more time. Only this time I want you to find something that is beautiful. You got something? You have a gift. You can take this gift with you, not the thing that you call beautiful, but you can take it in your mind, and you can have it forever and ever. And the next time that you are sort of in the middle of an illness, or in the middle of a family discord, or in the middle of perhaps something scandalous, you can stop and know that still, right there, there is beauty right in front of you. And if you can't see it, you can call on that memory of what you saw this morning in this room after this message on the healing qualities of beauty. There is something in you that can always see more. And so I'd like to now transition into that which will anchor these truths so that we might indeed own them. And we'll have our healing prayer. I would ask the practitioners and the ministers, any ministerial interns, if you would just surround the room, stand and surround the room with your consciousness, with your perceptions, holding all things sacred. Let's just all take a nice deep breath. Perfect, whole, and complete. Right here in this very moment, in this sacred space that we create in our togetherness, is the presence of God. It is a power and an intelligence. It is vibrant and alive. It is everywhere present at all times, and it is in this very room. I feel the love of God within me, that movement of life, that wisdom that breathes our lungs and pumps our heart and allows the blood to move and circulate through our physical being. In the same way that the infinite mind is circulating that divine wisdom, I feel the love of God within me, and I know it is that same truth that abides at the center of every person here. It is the love, the life that is God, that is spirit. And it is in every blade of grass, in every song of the bird. It is everywhere present, and that is always true. For we stand in this moment, as we speak together these powerful words of prayer, we stand in the middle of this current. It is a current of life. It is a current of our well-being. It is the infinite possibilities of all things that move toward us, those very things that we crave, that we yearn for. Those are the things that desire expression in our own lives. And so we take the message of this conversation this morning. We take this message, and we know that there are words of truth that have been spoken today just for ourselves. There is some truth that has been ignited, and we do not let it go to waste. We grab it, we hold it, we love it, because it is what we are. We are truth. We are that power. We are that peace. We are beauty. And we are whole. And so whatever desires to be healed or hold in our lives, We release our attachment to illness. We release our attachment to pain. We release our attachment to any idea that we can't have better than we have now. And we step into that which is new. We allow the old story to melt away in the natural way that the sun shines, so that we can step into the wings that are waiting for us to fly into the next greatest expression of our own being. And so anything that looks as though it may be slowing us down or blocking us, we know that even there God is right in the center of it. That the whole healing, the complete and full healing force of the universe is bringing us and restoring us into our wholeness. For nothing is broken. Nothing is limited or blocked from that gorgeous flow of life itself. The Holy Spirit in this room is the same Holy Spirit that is the intelligence, the wisdom of God, that God stuff that we are created of. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, infinite spirit. How good it is to remember again that there is beauty, that we are life's beauty. And so in this way that we are restored to truth, I simply release the words of this prayer into that dynamic law of the universe that brings all things into being, and together we say, and so it is. Amen. Amen.